This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, Fake versus Real, When It Matters. Deepfakes are videos that take fakery to a whole new level. They are made with artificial intelligence and make it look like somebody said and did things they didn't. They are really realistic. Now, you could make lots of funny videos with this technology, but also some terrifying stuff that could ruin reputations and lives. Liz Tong went to investigate deepfakes.
If you watch Game of Thrones and, like so many others, hated Season 8, you may have seen this video. It opens with a real scene from the show, a speech that one of the main characters, Jon Snow, is giving after a big battle to mourn the fallen. But instead of talking about the soldier's sacrifice, Jon Snow says something else.
Time for some apologies. I'm sorry we wasted your time. I'm sorry we didn't learn anything from the ending of Lost. We take the blame. I'm sorry we wrote this in like 6 days or something. Now, let's burn the script of season 8. And just forget it forever.
And with that, we see the beginnings of a bonfire. There, instead of fallen soldiers, is the script for season 8.
Fuck season 8.
So far, the video's racked up more than 2 million views and over 2,000 comments. I tracked down the guy who made the video. His name's Chris Yumi, and he said he knew from the beginning that this video was going to take off.
I knew it. Like, okay, this is gold. This is so funny.
Chris is a special effects artist who lives in Belgium. He and some friends run a YouTube channel called Eating Things, where they play around with iconic movie and TV scenes, mostly inserting a sloppy shirtless guy stuffing his face. But Chris says this video has been their biggest hit by far.
When it was crazy, and so many people messaged me and called me, it was amazing.
A lot of the enthusiasm has to do with people's shared hatred of Game of Thrones' 8th season. But it's also an amazing video because it just looks so real. Like, Jon Snow's lips actually match up with these words that he never actually said.
I have more lines in this video than I had in the last season.
This, my friends, is the power of deepfakes.
I got fascinated. Like, the technique is really cool. Like, what can we do with it?
Now, there are a few things that you need to make a deepfake. The first is deepfake software. Chris says there's two kinds that most people use, Deepface Lab and Face Swap. So you get the software, figure out how it works. Then you need to find either photos or video or both of the person you're deepfaking. Right now, Chris is working on a video of Borat.
Well, hello, nice to meet you. And my name is Borat.
So what I do is I Google and I find all these high quality videos where I see him talking. I see him in all these different kind of angles.
In Kyrgyzstan, manners is important.
Once he has all the footage and or photos, he feeds it into the software. And here's where the magic happens. The software uses the footage to actually learn how that person's face and mannerisms work.
I let this deep learning software, I let it run for like, let's say, a week and a half. And by then, it should have learned how Borat's face looks like when he's talking, how his mouth movement is, how his eyes look like, even the sparkle in his eye.
In America, women can vote, but horse cannot.
If the quality of your source footage is good, it should learn this. And this is done automatically.
Until recently, this kind of effect was something that only high-level special effects studios and academic groups were able to achieve. Remember the 2016 Star Wars film Rogue One? How it ends with a quick scene of a young, computer-generated Princess Leia?
What is it they've sent us?
Hope. Yeah, that was basically a deepfake. But recently, as in within the last 2 years, that technology has become available to just about anyone who wants it in the form of open source software. And to Hani Farid, a digital forensics expert who teaches at UC Berkeley, that is a cause for concern.
I'm worried about all kinds of things. I'm worried about the video of a candidate for high office being released 24 hours before an election and before anybody figures out it's fake, we've had a manipulation of our democracy. I'm worried about national security issues. These genuinely worry me.
Now, those are some pretty big what-ifs. But the spread of deepfakes has already created victims in reality that aren't in the public spotlight.
My name is Noelle Martin. I'm 25 years old and I live in Western Australia.
Noelle's story begins when she was 18 and engaging in the time-honored tradition of Googling herself.
Like one night, just tried it for myself out of curiosity.
That's when she found that one of her social media photos had been hijacked and distributed among multiple porn sites.
That's when my life changed.
Now, Noelle wasn't some kind of influencer or local celebrity. She was just a pretty and bubbly young woman who liked going out and taking lots of selfies. But that turned out to be a liability when she realized that multiple of her social media photos, along with her name and personal info, had been spread across the online pornosphere.
So I didn't even know what was happening. I'm completely shocked, completely sickened. And then I went down the rabbit hole of looking at all the sites and reading everything. And it just kept getting worse and worse.
What worse meant were deepfakes. After several years of fighting to get the photos and her personal info taken down from these porn sites, Noelle's attacker took it to a new level.
But I got, you know, a message that had links to videos. It was a video of me having sexual intercourse where they have my face and it was on a body and they put Noelle Martin in the title.
And then another deepfake video showed Noelle performing oral sex.
And the face used in that video was of me at 17 years old.
Worst of all, everyone, the police, the government, said there was nothing they could do. So Noelle started contacting the websites one by one, trying to get her image taken down. She says the whole experience was like a waking nightmare.
Absolutely horrifically. Like, it was just, it shattered everything. It honestly did. I just had this cloud over my head for, you know, 6-7 years, and I did not want to live for a lot of my adult life.
As much as those of us who love deepfakes would like to believe that Noelle's case was an anomaly, it wasn't. In fact, the guy who made deepfakes a thing did it for porn. He's a Reddit user who showed up on the site around 2017. We still don't know who he is. And what he did was take the faces of famous actresses, Emma Watson, Scarlett Johansson, Gal Gadot, and paste them onto the bodies of actresses in existing porn videos. Reddit eventually banned deepfake and his videos, but by that time, it was too late. He'd made his source code, the magic key to automating this whole process, available to other people, which means that now it's everywhere.
It turns out to be a very robust and reliable and relatively speaking, simple technology.
That's Soe Liu. He's a professor of computer science at the State University of New York at Albany, and he focuses on digital media forensics.
So he actually published his code as open source software, and everybody, you know, have internet connection, know a little bit about computer programming and machine learning, will be able to run this code and start making fake videos.
Deepfake, the Reddit user, provided not only the software, but the name, which stands for deep learning and, of course, fake.
I think what is dramatic about this is that the machines are essentially doing all the heavy lifting.
That's Hani Farid again. And he says this advancement is mostly thanks to machine learning, a kind of artificial intelligence that uses mathematical models to detect complex statistical patterns in large amounts of data.
The way it's actually generated is there's two computer algorithms. Technically, they're called deep neural networks. And one is a synthesizer and one is a detector. And the synthesizer creates the fake content and asks its counterpart, the detector, whether it's real or not. And they work together in a very tight loop.
In the past, that required hundreds of photos and videos, which meant that deepfakes were really only realistic for people like famous actors or politicians. But in recent years, the technology has been growing by leaps and bounds, which not only means just about anyone can do it, but they can do it with fewer and fewer source photos and videos.
The scary point is it's getting better and better and better and better. You know, and people can use one photo to create these videos. They don't need hours of footage of someone. And they are already starting to look extremely realistic to the point where it's really difficult to detect what is real and what's fake.
But we aren't completely defenseless. Both Hani and Sowe, the digital forensics researchers I talked to, are part of a global network of academics who are working on strategies to try and identify deepfakes. For example, Sowe's team noticed that deepfakes rarely blink, so they came up with a technology that can detect that. The problem is the deepfake creators quickly adapted. As for Hani, his team is tracking people's unique behavioral tics that don't always translate to deepfake videos. But he says that this approach, along with all the others people are coming up with, is likely just a short-term solution.
There is absolutely will come a time where the generation of deepfakes will defeat our forensic techniques. Our hope is that that takes not weeks or months, but years. And in the meantime, we will develop new techniques.
Other people, like Noelle, are pushing for a legal solution. She successfully advocated for laws in Australia that criminalize what's called image-based abuse. And that push is starting to spread. In fact, in the U.S., Congress recently introduced several bills designed to criminalize the creation and distribution of any deepfakes that don't have labeling that makes it clear they are deepfakes. So far, the federal legislation is stalled. Free speech activists say that these bills could stymie other legitimate uses of deepfakes, like for parody or commentary. They say we already have laws on the books that can be used to go after people who create non-consensual porn. But that doesn't address the bigger concern that people like Hani Farid have about the impact of deepfakes.
I think the more worrisome trend, however, is not the fake content in and of itself. It's the what happens in the world when, if anything can be fake, nothing is real. If more than half of content that we see online is fake, how are we going to distinguish the real from the not real? And I think that's what's more worrisome, is that the ecosystem is going to become so poisoned that nobody's going to be able to believe anything they see, hear, or read online. And in many ways, that is what concerns me more than anything else.
As for Chris Yumi, the deepfake artist from the beginning of this story, he shares Noelle and Hani's concerns. In fact, he didn't want to tell me too much about how he creates deepfakes to avoid making it even easier for bad actors to create their own. But he says that maybe the solution to this whole problem isn't technological or legal. Maybe it's human.
People just have to learn to be more critical. That's the point. They don't have to be scared of deepfake, because it probably existed even before you heard the word deepfake. You just didn't know it. At least now you know it exists, and you know you shouldn't believe what you see.